It is Plantac on KFGO. The man himself, the man of the hour, Dave DeCock, is on the line. Dave, welcome back to KFGO Radio.
Well, it's great to be here.
It's great to hear you again. Plantac, you can hear every Thursday during the growing season from 1 to 2 o'clock. And today's show is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Jeans, the Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. So, Dave, let's just get right to work because people are waiting for you. And if you want to get on the line, 237-5948, 800-880-5346. First on the line is Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good.
Good. Question for you. I've got creeping Charlie in the yard. Tell me how I can get rid of it.
Well, the regular weed killer, the regular dandelion killer stuff, like from Ortho and that, they won't do the job. Creeping Charlie is a little too tough for them, but Ortho, if you use Ortho product, they do have a weed killer for hard-to-control weeds. It's a Weed Begone for hard-to-control weeds, and sometimes you'll see it as Weed Begone for Creeping Charlie and clover, that kind of thing. That would be your best bet. The regular weed killer won't do it, but even if you do use a weed killer for hard-to-control weeds, you will have to do it more than once. I would guess you'd probably have fairly good success with it now because we've had good rain, and when we get good rain, the weeds tend to be vigorously growing, and if they're vigorously growing, they kill better. So I would think you should have fairly good luck now, but you're going to have to do it more than once. Once won't do it.
Okay, so it's Weed Begone for hard-to-control weeds.
Right, yep.
And that's an Ortho product?
Yeah, it's an Ortho product. I've seen it around, so I know that you can find it.
Okay, and does it matter if we spray it on the lawn and it rains?
Try and get it on a day before it rains, at least. You know, if the longer it can be on, the better. I wouldn't put it on and have it rain in an hour or two because that wouldn't be good.
Right.
But if you've got, 8, 10, 12 hours, that should be fine.
Okay. Wonderful. Thanks so much. Appreciate
okay, Deb.
It.
Yeah, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, bye-bye.
Louis is next. Dave, Louis is next.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. Yes, go ahead.
See, I've got a Candy Crisp apple tree.
Okay.
It's different from the Honey Crisp. It's called a Candy Crisp. And
Where'd you get that from?
One of the nurseries in town here.
Oh, I guess I'm not familiar with it. I wonder if it's a Minnesota apple or what it is, because it's one I haven't heard of before.
They figure that it's part of the Red Delicious.
Okay. What's your question?
Well, the question was, I've had it for about 5 years, and it hasn't blossomed at all.
Okay.
I've got flowering crabs here. I've got a Honey Crisp, which I get all kinds of apples on. But no blossoms at all on this Candy Crisp in the spring. And I was wondering if there was something specific I needed to pollinate it with.
Well, no. The pollination has nothing to do with it if you didn't have flowers.
Okay.
If you have flowers, then pollination's a big deal. But if you don't get flowers on it, of course, you could have pollinators all day long and you'd get nothing because the tree has to have the flowers for the pollination.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't get flowers, and the main thing with apple trees that prevents them from flowering or slows them down from flowering is if their growing conditions are too good, they tend to get a lot of leaves, they tend to grow like crazy, they're good, healthy-looking trees, if they're stressed, they're more likely to produce flowers and fruit.
Oh.
And it's sort of a self-preservation thing with fruit trees. If they're stressed, they want to reproduce. So anything you can do, if you've been fertilizing, and I would certainly stop doing that. If you've been watering, and I would stop doing that. Anything you can do to stress it is going to cause it to be more likely to have fruit next year.
Okay. Well, I'll...
Any kind of stress, just ignore that bugger. Don't do a thing for it. As far as pruning, only prune what you have to prune, because if you do a lot of pruning on a tree, too, a fruit tree, it'll produce a lot of new growth and not flowers. So you basically want to ignore that bugger as much as you can.
Okay, because it's a beautiful-looking tree, but...
Right,
blossoms
right.
Nothing, so.
You've been taking good care of it, but that's not what gets them to fruit. It's the stress that's going to cause them to flower and fruit.
Okay, well, I'll stress it out then.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Talk to you again.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye.
David is next.
Hi, David.
Oh, hi. Hey, I understand, while these kids are being, school's not in session right now, and they're all probably looking for something to do. And I'm wondering if there'd be an opportunity to teach kids how to plant trees. And, along the lines of, if it's maybe a little too hot to do it right now, could they be gathering seeds, on their bicycles and whatnot, and then, later in the autumn, getting them prepped for planting next year.
Okay, thanks, David. Thanks for your call. I don't know what you were going to say, Dave, but I know that River Keepers does a reforest the red every year. I don't know when they do it, but if you're looking for ways to get kids involved in planting trees.
I would think talking to the Soil Conservation District would be another one to talk to, because I remember when I was with Extension, they'd have a thing each fall where they'd take kids from the schools out and talk to them about trees and soil conservation type topics. So they would be another group to call and talk to and see what they're doing or if they have anything set up for that to happen. Because I know that they, in my days with Extension, we did that. So I don't know if Extension still does that or what's happening. But, I know that there are entities that do that kind of thing.
Yeah, there are. Soil Conservation or River Keepers, check out one of those if you're looking for that. Can crabgrass be killed in my lawn? That's a common question, but we haven't got that a lot lately, Dave.
Right. Typically with crabgrass, if they've got crabgrass, they'll know it now because it's laying very flat and it's got a million seeds on it, and that's crabgrass. It's an annual grass that comes back each year from seed. So what you need to do in probably early to mid-May, get a fertilizer that's got crabgrass killer in the fertilizer. You put that down, and then when the crabgrass seeds start to germinate, this weed killer that's in there will kill the germinating seeds. So that's your best way to get rid of crabgrass. And you'll need to do it each year because all the seeds don't germinate in 1 year. Some of them will lay there for more years before they germinate, but using a crabgrass killer in early May is your best bet on crabgrass. This time of the year is pretty tough to do anything because there's a million seeds there. What you can do is put your lawnmower as low as you can, put a bag on, hopefully suck as many up as you can so they're not there to lay down or to start next spring. But, use a pre-emergence in the fertilizer in early May. That's your best bet to try and get crabgrass under control.
Sounds good. We'll take more of your questions. It is Plant Talk on KFGO. You can text in your question to 35270, or you can call us at 237-5948.
Plant Talk with Dave DeCock is on the air. If you want to get on with Dave, if you have a question about your lawn, your garden, your tree, or even some of those pests running around, all you have to do is give us a call here at the studio, 701-237-5948. 1-800-880-5346. You can even text in a question too to 35270. That's our text club sponsored by 702 Communications. Dave, next on the line, we've got Kay.
Hi, Kay.
Hello. The person that called in or texted in about crabgrass, if it's going to seed, my recommendation is pull the seed off. There is a Trimec and a couple other weed killers out there that have crabgrass killer in them, and I've used them already. And the name of the product that's in it is Q-U-I-N-C-L-O-R-A-C. And
you find that some of the dandelion killers have got it in now.
Yeah, and it does work on that. But if it got seeds on, I'd pull the seeds off first.
Right. But, I know if you have it like I have it, Kay, you'd be out there all day. So I'm gonna have to do some in the spring.
I've seen a lot of yards now that it's just starting to grow. It doesn't have the seeds on it yet. So
mine is nice and seeded out. So if it's nice and seeded out, you're kind of stuck. I mean, I know pulling the seeds off would be great, but yeah, right. And so, well, thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. Hi to everybody.
Always a pleasure, yeah, Kay. Yeah, you call too. Back anytime you want.
Thank you. Yeah. I will do. Bye-bye.
Sure. Next on the line, we have Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a red maple, a smaller one, maybe 4-inch trunk, and it broke in half in the wind. It was tall and skinny.
And now I got
little suckers coming up from around the stump with the maple leaf on.
Are the little suckers coming up red, or are they coming up green?
Oh, they're green, yep.
Yeah, see, the problem is red maple, sometimes some of these red forms, they're a red form of a Norway maple, and those are grafted. And typically what happens is that they break off, or you get suckers from the ground, they'll come up and be green because they're coming up from down below where the graft was. And if that's the case, you can let one of them come up and develop into a tree, but you're probably going to have just a normal Norway maple. You won't have the red leaves. So it's a matter of, if you really wanted the red leaves, you're probably going to have to start over. But if you'd be happy with a green-leafed one, you can just leave them come and eventually develop it into one single trunk.
It would, huh? It would just attach onto that stump?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can let it, it's sort of like when you cut a big tree down, and if it sends up suckers from the base and you cut everything off except one and you let it go, it will eventually develop into a big tree.
Okay.
It's just you won't have the red color if these are green.
Okay.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for the call. Good luck. Another question in our text club. I have heard that after removing a tree and grinding the stump, you need to wait 2 years before planting another tree in that spot. Is that true, Dave?
Well, it would depend. You know, if when you cut down a big tree and they come with a stump grinder and grind it out, if you go ahead and clean all the debris out of the hole and you put good heavy Fargo soil, the heavy soil like the rest of the soil around it, and fill that hole with that up and pack it good, you can go ahead and plant in there right away. But typically what tends to happen is rather than clean all the debris and the wood chips and stuff out, they just leave it there and they try and plant into that. And the problem you run into then, of course, is when it rains, all the water runs right to the bottom. There's just no soil there to hold the moisture. So if you clean the hole out good and get good soil back in there, sure, you can go ahead and plant in there. You can plant in there the same year. But if you don't clean the debris out, trying to plant in there is always going to be a problem.
Is there any worry if you had a tree that maybe died and you had to get rid of it rather than, you know, like, well, maybe had a disease of planting another tree in that same spot?
Well, I would go with a different variety, with a different kind. If it's an ash tree and it dies, you planted a maple or a linden or something, then more than likely there would be no problem, because most diseases tend to be fairly specific for the type of tree that they attack.
All right, here's another question in our text club for you, Dave. Can you still fertilize the yard? And if you can, should the yard be wet or dry?
Well, you can still fertilize now if you're going to continue to do good watering. Remember, one of these days, typically this time of the year, it's dry and it's hot and we don't get rain. So usually this time of the year, we don't do fertilizing unless you're one of the people who's got a sprinkler system and uses it every other day. If you do that and you're putting a lot of moisture on, of course, fertilizing would not be a problem. But if you're like me and you don't water, then putting fertilizer down, if it's dry, isn't a good idea unless you're going to do a lot of watering. And I guess I don't do the watering, so I don't fertilize this time of the year. As far as putting it down, if you're putting just regular fertilizer down, you put it down, and then after you get it put down, then you water it in. Or if the grass is wet and you put it down, then you need to water it in fairly quickly because you don't want it to burn the grass leaves. So if it's wet, you water it after you put it down. If it's dry, you water it after you put it down. So I don't know that makes that much difference.
Okay, and maybe look at the forecast, and if we got four rainy days in a row, that'd be an opportune time right before the rain starts to fly.
That would be an opportune time, yes. And if, like many times, you don't get anything out of the 4 days, well, then you just have to water it.
Yeah, there you go, right? You can't always count on Tom Szymanski. This is Plant Talk with Dave DeCock on the Mighty 790 KFGO. We have more Plant Talk coming up. If you want to get on the line, 237-5948 is the telephone number here. Plant Talk with Dave DeCock is on the air. Special thanks to Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Gene's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm for being the great sponsors on Plant Talk. If you want to get in and you've got a question about your lawn, your garden, some vegetables, give us a call here at the studio, 701-237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. Let's go back to the text club real quick. Dave, my mini arborvitae is rusty. I covered it all winter. What can I do? Lowest branches are the worst.
Well, my guess would be with rustiness, my guess is she probably is talking about turning brown in the winter. That would be a guess. I don't know if there's any disease that would cause, I don't know if arborvitaes get rust or not. I know rust is a disease that plants can get. I'm not sure if arborvitaes get it or not, but my guess would be is that she's probably get browning from the winter. Now, if she covered it for the winter, it depends on how she covered it. Now, it's perfectly fine with evergreens in the winter when we get the first snow to take snow and blow snow on them and cover them with snow. That's great. Some people will wrap evergreens with burlap. That's okay, too, but the recommendation, if you're going to use burlap to wrap a plant, you put stakes in the ground first and you wrap the burlap around the stakes and you have it put the stakes so that there's some room for air movement between the burlap and the evergreen. If you wrap the burlap directly around the evergreen fairly tightly, what will happen is it will get warm inside, and then what happens, of course, is the browning occurs in the winter because the green tissue runs out of moisture. It dries out. So if they wrapped it tightly for the winter, that could be a reason that it has turned brown from the winter. Now, what she needs to do there is she should see what kind of new growth you're getting now. And if you're getting enough new growth coming out, the brown tissue will eventually fall off. But she should know by now because it should have new growth on now if it's going to grow.
Dave, someone wants to know when is a good time to plant a new tree. Is early September a good time?
Right. Either early September or spring after it's dried enough so that you can get out there and it's not muddy. So either spring or just after Labor Day would be the two best times.
All right. Here's someone who's got a question about a limelight hydrangea. It started wilting last week after the heavy rain from the last few storms. We dug it up to find standing water. We made the hole much bigger, removed the water, poured some sand in for drainage, and then new dirt. Despite this, the leaves and flowers fell. Is the tree dead or dormant? What should we do?
Well, my guess, usually what happens is if a plant starts to wilt because it's been kept too wet, usually the roots have started to rot already, and that's the reason it wilts, is because the roots get damaged from being saturated with moisture. When they get damaged, it kills the roots, and the roots will start to rot. So my guess would be, even though they went through all these things to try and save it, my guess is what's going to happen is it's just going to continue to get drier and drier, and they'll have to replace it. But right now, leave it where it is. See what happens. If it does start to come back, that's great. If not, then wait till after Labor Day and put another one in. But standing in water can be a problem for any plant, because a plant requires oxygen for the roots. When they're standing in water, there's no oxygen. The oxygen is all driven out when it's flooded with water. So my guess would be is that it was just too wet too long, and that it won't come back. But I'd give it some more time, and if you want to plant a new one, wait till after Labor Day.
Dave, do you have an opinion on those? They look like little spikes, and they're fertilizer for trees, and you just kind of push them into the ground with your foot. Do you have an opinion on those products?
I mean, they're fine. It's just that you do want to, some of them you buy too. There's even a little plastic cap you put on the fertilizer tablet, and you can take a hammer and drive them in the ground that way too. So, but they do provide fertilizer. So, I mean, they're okay to use. It's a good way to fertilize a tree if you want to fertilize a tree. I guess I've never been too anxious about fertilizing trees, because I do a lot of pruning, and the more you fertilize them, the more you have to prune. So I guess I've never been too anxious to do much fertilizing, but they would be fine. If you do put them down, go out from the trunk to a point where the drip line of the tree, and that's basically the furthest extent of the branches. And then just go around out at that distance from the trunk and then put them down. And when we get moisture, it will dissolve them, and the nitrogen will move down in the soil and get taken up by the root.
Okay. Next on the line for you, Dave, we have AJ.
Hey, DJ. Yes.
Hey, Dave. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Say, have you heard about these the news reports of these Chinese seeds being mailed to Americans?
Yes, I've heard about it. I guess I haven't read any of them. I've seen it. I don't know what kind of seed it is or anything. I have no idea about that. You probably find more of that going on and checking the news. I'd imagine somebody has probably analyzed to find out what kind of seed it is, but I guess I have no idea.
Okay.
I've heard about it just like you have.
In your professional opinion, if someone was to receive seeds or plant material from another nation that they did not order, what would your recommendation be?
I don't know if I would take...
Excuse me?
Well, you know, AJ, we actually had the Ag Commissioner on yesterday, and what they're asking for is for you to actually send the seeds into the state Ag Department. Not even to throw them away, because the packaging could open and then they could be incorporated into the soil at one of the landfills, and certainly not to plant it, certainly not to, you know, even open the packaging and look at them. We have a great podcast at KFGO.com if you'd like to listen to it with the developing story.
Dave, I would assume your opinion isn't different from that.
No. I guess I wouldn't mess with it, because if it came from China, who knows what it is.
Right, and I didn't know about your discussion yesterday, so I do apologize on that. It's kind of blown up what I've seen lately.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, AJ. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Sure. Yeah, bye-bye.
It doesn't seem that there are any reports on knowing what it is just yet. Photos that I've seen, there are a lot of different types of seeds that were sent. It's not just one across the board. Some of them are small and black, and some of them are bigger.
They look
almost
like a pistachio almost.
Yeah, so they're all across the board.
I can't imagine what the purpose of it is, but...
Dave,
I know the virus came from China, so I'm not too excited about getting anything free from China. So,
we got a question on our Facebook page for you, Dave. What would be a good, fast-growing shade tree that will thrive in Fargo soil?
Oh, boy. Let me think. Lindens would be good. I mean, they're fairly fast. They're fairly soft woods, so they're not, you know, it's a... There, you go to Lindenwood Park, and all along the river, you've got linden trees, and so something like that would be good. Typically, what happens, though, is the faster growing a tree is, usually the weaker the wood is, and usually the shorter its life expectancy. I mean, we've got things like cottonwoods and willows and poplars. They typically in the past been used for something that will grow fast and give you shelter or a boundary or whatever fairly quickly, but the problem with them is they're fairly short-lived. And that's what typically what we run into is things, the faster growing they are, usually the shorter life they are and the softer the wood is. But I think something like linden would be probably a good balance between fairly fast growing and a fair life expectancy for the tree. But that's a balance you have to deal with. You have to look at it because the faster growing they are, usually the shorter lived they are. And what good is if it gets big quick if it dies soon? So,
Dave, there's a question in our text club that says, best time to transplant raspberry plants? A month ago, I transplanted mini shoots and they died. Will they come back next year?
Oh, I would guess probably not. I think what I would do is, the raspberry is a plant that it's typically a biennial plant. So if you buy raspberries, the first year they will grow. The second year, that same stock will have fruit. And then after it has fruit, the following year, that stock is dead. But what typically happens with them is they will grow, and when they're big enough to start having fruit, they will also be sending suckers out. And the suckers, of course, will then have the fruit the following year. So if you're going to dig, I guess what I would do is I would wait till spring, and when you get some suckers coming up, dig them in the spring. What you have to watch out for is when you dig them up, you have to make sure there's enough root there, because typically they're attached to the mother plant. And if you just dig them up and you cut the connection between the mother plant and the plant that you're transplanting doesn't have a decent amount of roots on it, it's going to end up dying. That's what you need to look for, because basically what you're doing when you're transplanting is you're taking suckers that have developed that year or the year before. And also when you do transplanting, you want to cut them back to about 6 inches so that otherwise the amount of roots you have isn't sufficient to support the plant that you're moving. So typically you cut them back pretty severely when you move them. But I would say in the spring right away would be the ideal time.
Dave, someone wants some advice on the best kind of tree to plant in your front yard.
Ooh, that's a wide open question. I guess there's just a bunch of different shade trees. It's going to depend on the size of the home. If you have a great big two-story, a big home, of course, you can use things like lindens or ash or maples or some of those. If you've got a single story, of course, then you need to go with a much smaller tree, like your tree lilacs or your flowering crabs, mountain ash, something that would not get nearly as big. So it typically depends on the size of the home you have as to what you want to plant out in front.
Someone wants to know if it's still okay to prune evergreens.
Oh, sure. Yeah, usually evergreens should be pruned by about the 15th of August. And the reason we stop then is that we want to make sure if there are wounds that they heal up good before winter. Evergreens have a problem. If you prune too late in the fall, they lose moisture from those wounds. And that's a problem with evergreens, because evergreens, the tree uses moisture all winter because the needles stay green. And if it runs short of moisture, then come spring, it starts to turn brown because the tissue starts to die because it doesn't have moisture and the ground is frozen. So up to about the middle of August is fine.
Sounds good. We'll take more of your questions when we come back here on Plant Talk on KFGO. You can call in now, 237-5948, 800-880-5346. You can also text a question into 35270. That text club sponsored by 702 Communications, keeping you connected with high-speed internet. It's Plant Talk on KFGO. Dave Decock is with us, and Plant Talk today is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Jeans the Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. How often can
Miracid? Is it Miracid?
Oh, that's what it is. It's my first day reading. How often can Miracid be sprayed on the evergreens?
Well, I don't know that there, I don't know that there is a minimum time that you have to wait between using it, because typically what nitric acid is, it's a water-soluble fertilizer that you spray on the needles. The needles take the fertilizer in. When we get rain, of course, whatever is left on the needles gets washed off. So you could certainly do it, you know, if it rained after you did it, you could certainly do it again, and there wouldn't be a problem of burning the needles or anything. So it can be used fairly frequently. I would think every week you could use it, because the amount that's taken in through the needles, it takes some in, but it's a limited amount. You're not going to burn the tissue using it. So especially if you follow the label directions, you won't burn the tissue. So I would think weekly would not be too much if you wanted to use it, but it does get absorbed by the needles fairly quickly, and it tends to bring out a nicer green color than it typically would have.
Okay, sounds good. And, creeping
We have an
chart.
Email question, too.
Oh, we have an I email. Is there a photo sure associated with it?
There is not.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
But it's from a good buddy of ours, Paul in Fargo. Hi, Dave. Is there sap coming from the trees lately? My car seems to have sap on them all the time. Sure. What the heck?
Right. Well, what it is it the trees where you're parking your car, I would assume there's probably big trees, maybe elm trees, and they're full of aphids. And of course, the aphids are notorious for producing a honeydew kind of sap that drips down on everything that's underneath it. And you'll see some cars where the top is almost dark in color, and that's because the honeydew drips down on the top of the car. And there is a sooty mold that grows on that honeydew, and that's where we get the dark color. But it's the aphids in the trees. A good rain should help wash some of the aphids out. Usually trying to spray for it doesn't do any good, because there's just so many aphids up there, and the trees are usually so big. But it's the honeydew from the aphids that's causing the problem.
All right, there you go. And then, Amy, do you say you have a Creeping Charlie question as well?
Yeah, and we answered that, so you'll be able to listen to our podcast if you want to get in on that one. Yep. Dave, best way to control ants. Gosh, we have a lot of ants in our lawn this year, or in parts of our lawn, which I don't remember.
Remember last year we had somebody call in and say that using farina works good for ants, or some of those dried powdered cereals works fairly good for ants, because the ants will actually come up and ingest it, and they're not able to, they ingest it, but they're not able to digest it. So some of these things like farina works good. There is also a lot of different chemicals available. You can get them in granular or powders or liquid that you spray on the anthills that will work as well. But, excuse me. I remember last year somebody called in and they talked about using farina or cream of wheat or something, and that's supposed to work good too with ants. So
I can attest
you
we did.
Try that if you don't want to use it. You can try that if you don't want to use a chemical.
Yeah, we tried it, Dave, and it worked really well in our lawn.
That's great. Hey, we have several lower. This is a text in at 35270. We have several lower branches on our evergreen that have died. If we clear everything up to the green branches, will we ever get any lower branches to grow back?
No. They don't get branches of new growth on the bottom. So once they're dead, you might as well take them off. But the problem with evergreens, once you take the lower branches off, you can see underneath them. And usually what you see underneath them isn't that attractive.
Right, because you lose all of the grass underneath evergreens as well, because there's so much shade.
Right. And it's so dry there. So, but if they're dead, there's not much purpose keeping them either, because they're just not attractive. But typically, you don't get new growth underneath.
Any suggestion on what to do underneath?
You could put edging out. You could put bark chips on it. You could put rocks on it. You could put edging there and just leave the soil. It's difficult to get a ground cover to grow underneath. You could try some of the more persistent ground covers. Probably would compete. As far as grass is concerned, it's very difficult to have nice grass under a big evergreen.
Okay, sounds good. Dave Decock, thanks so much for another great edition of Plant Talk. We appreciate your time.
Sounds great. We'll see you guys next week.
And, of course, Plant Talk with Dave DeCock has been brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Jeans the Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. We'll be back next Thursday at 1 o'clock.